Hey, everybody. It's Jay. Thanks for listening to another episode of Blockbusting. Happy to have you on board, as always. So today's episode features my first international guest from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, my buddy Daniel Muggleton. He came on to talk about The Matrix Reloaded. This is just a fun episode, man. It's a real silly fun time. Me and an Aussie chopping it up. So enjoy the episode. If you like the podcast, click the link at the top of the show notes to join the new Blockbusting Facebook group. And I'm recording my album August 31st back in the States in Los Angeles. So click the next link. There's a link for that in the show notes as well. So click the link to reserve a spot. It's going to be donation accepted at the door, pay what you can venue. But I just need butts and seats. And I want you there. If you like the podcast and you like my stand-up, which I have a feeling there's a pretty good overlap of that, come check out the show. It's going to be a blast. But you know what else is a blast? The episode you're about to listen to right now with Daniel Muggleton. Enjoy. Oh, let me tell you something. Boston makes me feel good. Cool. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light, with a sultry festival voice. Joining me, my guest today, Daniel Muggleton.
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm happy to have you on the show. You're my first international get.
Thank you. Big get for you.
Big get.
Huge get.
Gigantic, massive get.
Can't believe of all the people I was available.
I know. Your schedule's really tied up between doing stuff and doing other stuff.
That's it. Sleeping in.
That's nice.
And drinking. It's the Edinburgh Fringe. You got to get through this thing somehow.
What's your average like staying out time till? I find it varies from person to person.
Probably like 3.
Okay.
Getting home about 3. Yeah. That's not too bad.
Not too bad.
I called last night like very early. I was home by midnight.
Whoa.
I was like, that's like going to bed at 8 p.m.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine going to bed at midnight.
Yeah. I was a little bit. I like this English expression. I woke up a bit poorly.
A bit poly?
Yeah, like a bit sick. Like you're just, you feel poor. So you're poorly.
Oh, I thought you meant like poly Shore.
No, not like poly Shore. No, not referencing him.
I woke up wheezing the juice a little bit. It was very unfortunate. It just felt kind of strange.
Yeah, felt a bit poorly. But no, just like, so I was like, I'm going to take a day off. Because I think the main thing in Edinburgh is to try to not drink one day per week.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't drink, and I'm still even having like a hell of a time trying to just keep up with.
But you don't drink at all.
Stuff. No, I don't drink at all.
How have you managed to explain this to British people? Surely they're concerned for you.
You know, because it's a big chunk of what I talk about in my show. So
right,
but they're just like, it is more confusing here than it is in the States. I feel like in the States there's a lot of people who are very just like, oh yeah, you know, you're sober, good for you, enjoy your life. And out here everybody's just like, what the fuck, why?
Yeah, I think here everybody's just like, look, either you're like Muslim or you killed someone with your car.
Right.
Like, you know, that's
and
the
I didn't
only...
do either of those things. I was just like, yeah, this, I'm just embarrassing myself. But yeah, I mean, I did drink a quad espresso at like 9 o'clock last night, and that was a huge mistake. I felt like I was going to have a heart attack
a
on stage.
Quad espresso.
I had a quad espresso.
I didn't think they went up that high.
Well, I
thought quad was bikes only.
Turns out if you order right at the coffee shops, I got
Jesus.
Because there's nobody that nowhere sells regular coffee around here.
Like except filter. For like,
yeah, nowhere sells filter. There's like one place that I found that sells filter.
Yeah.
And it's very good, but everywhere else it's all like flat whites and Americanos.
Well, flat whites, that's like Australia's favorite coffee. That's our number one. I think our big export.
It's a good
coffee
choice.
Steve Irwin. But yeah, they don't do filter here. I know that because I prefer filter because it's like, I don't know, it's not as strong.
Right.
Like an Americano, huh?
Yeah.
Coffee named after you.
After us.
Is an espresso, and that's, I don't know, I prefer the filter.
I prefer the filter, because that's the thing. It's like, I love an espresso every once in a while, but the problem with espresso is it's just too fucking concentrated.
Yeah.
And flat white, you got the concentrated espresso, and you got the milk, so it's just stirring up all sorts of stuff going on in your bowels. all sorts of dairy and caffeine related problems.
Yeah, which you don't need at this festival.
No.
This is like, yeah, it's like a constant battle here. If you can do more sports or more shits each day.
I think I'm about even right now.
I was even, and then I just started eating some horrible food to clog me up. Like that's been, God. Yeah. And I've canceled a lot of spots. So actually, we're probably still even.
somebody gave me leftovers last night after my show. They paid me, and then they're also like, "Hey, I got this Chinese food. Do you want these?" And I was like, "Okay, sure." And I started eating it at like 2 a.m. right when you texted me what the movie you wanted to talk about was. And it was spicy noodles. They were so spicy, I could not feel my face. And I was like, "This is a horrible thing to eat right before I go to bed, because now I'm going to wake up and my ass is going to be on fire."
Yeah, the old Johnny Cash.
In the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm dealing with today.
Wow. I can't believe someone gave you leftovers after a show. They doggy bagged you.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Hey, listen, I'm changing the paradigm over here at French. I'm making things happen.
Yeah. I like that. Everyone's like, "That show was great. You seem like you need money and food.
Yeah.
We want to load you up."
Keep me from eating Tesco takeaway stuff all the time. I appreciate that.
Are you on the meal deal? Is that your fave?
No, I usually do. I tend to wind up eating also. I've eaten a lot of falafel wraps.
Yeah,
late
that's
at night.
Fair.
I've eaten. I'm doing some like Ryvita and peanut butter.
Great.
A little peanut butter, like a fake peanut butter toast.
Yeah, I like that. This festival, you kind of revert back to like your high school self.
Right.
You're like, Ryvita and peanut butter, that'll do me.
Yeah.
That's enough.
I had people, I went to KFC twice so far.
Nice.
And I didn't, as soon as the first time I suggested going to KFC with friends of mine, they're like, "Why?" And I was like, "It's KFC.
Yeah.
It's so easy."
Exactly.
Like, why take the risk on something right now? Let's just go for some good old American comfort food.
Yeah.
And we did.
And it felt good?
And we ate KFC in the street like a bunch of real vagabonds, and it felt great. Like, we're really living our best lives right now.
Yeah, these are some goddamn vagabonds. You see these vagabonds eating KFC in the street?
Yeah. That's what happens when you get gentrification in Scotland. There's no more train spotting. You're just eating KFC and dipping sauces.
That's it.
Supercharged sauce.
Do you think the KFC is better here? Because I would argue that it is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think America's actually got the worst quality fast food.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
The bread out here in the fast food, even in just the burgers, is infinitely better.
Okay. You got the bread? You got a burger from KFC?
I got, well, the bread, and then the breading for the actual chicken is good for KFC too.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
I've done a little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
A little bit of both.
Way to fucking live your life out here.
Mix it up. Hey, listen, that's what I came out here for the culture.
Absolutely.
The culture and to watch bad movies late at night, like I did last night after you brought up the movie you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
The Matrix Reloaded.
The Matrix Reloaded, number 2 of 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think the third one is so bad it doesn't even count as a movie.
I never saw any of the Matrix trilogy when it was right out. Did you see it all when it was sort of coming out in theaters?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I hate the second one so much, because I was hyped. I was like, "Oh my God, the Matrix is so good, amazing, cannot wait for the story to continue."
Right.
And then it should never have continued.
It should not have continued.
Yeah.
I had not seen the Matrix until a couple years ago. And I was like, I was blown away. I was like, "This is a great movie."
How did you dodge the Matrix? I mean, that sounds like a pun.
Like bullet time, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh,
very
God,
closely.
I've been in England
had a lot of
long.
Camera set up." But I had, because I grew up very sheltered, so I wasn't allowed to watch a whole lot of stuff that would have been like an R-rated movie. You know, Matrix is 99, right? So I'm 9 years old when that comes out.
Yeah.
And my parents are very, at that point, like, I can barely watch PG-13 movies at that point.
Okay.
So Matrix, absolutely not coming into my field of vision.
Okay.
So when I finally did see it, it was because I had a high school history teacher who we were talking about Plato's Allegory of the Cave.
Okay. Yeah.
And he showed the scene from the Matrix where they talk about, it's the first time that he like figures out that he's in the Matrix, and it's the gun room, and they're just in the white space, and then all of a sudden all the guns fly in.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh yeah, so the Matrix is just the tech version of Plato's Allegory of the Cave."
Okay.
And so then I was like, "Oh, this movie sounds pretty sweet." And so I watched it after that. And I was like, "Yeah, I was right. This movie is pretty sweet. Great." And everybody had told me never to watch the sequels, and so I never did. And then you...
Right, because they already knew.
Right.
They discovered what I had discovered.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Save yourself."
Years after the fact, and so you threw this at me.
Oh, boy. I feel responsible now.
You should. This is not this does not reflect well on the Wachowskis, on The Matrix, on either of us that we have decided to watch this voluntarily again. Matrix Reloaded is a 2003 science fiction action film written and directed by the Wachowskis. It's received generally positive reviews, which I don't buy. I can't
Bullshit.
Believe that. Yeah.
Come on. That no.
I think that means it got like a 60-something on Rotten Tomatoes. Let me take a look. 73 on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, but that's just all the Matrix nerds like rallying, you know?
Right?
You know that thing where like those horrible movies like that have a massive fan base will still get a good review because the only people who'd bother to leave the review were like the nerds who were like, this is the most genius one ever.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I love this franchise. Like, you know, that kind of, that's the only explanation. 73.
That's, yeah.
I would give it like high 50s max.
At the,
max.
Yeah, the absolute peak.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple parts in this movie that do are still kind of cool and have a little bit of redeeming
quality. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As from like an action standpoint.
For sure. Like the pole, mm-hmm. the pole scene.
Yeah.
Like with the just beating up like 70,000 agents with the pole. That's fun.
Yeah.
But I think they like over stylize it though.
Because
like the Matrix, like the first Matrix is kind of like, oh, it's very groundbreaking. This is like awesome. Then this one, they're just kind of like, hey, let's just break that ground like 100 times.
Right.
You know? So just it's like oversaturation. So you're like, I'm just sick of this CGI bullet timey stuff.
I remember watching parts of this movie and thinking something differently than I'd seen in The Matrix. Like The Matrix, I was like, oh, this is clearly a very technologically advanced movie, you know, in terms of the way they're shooting it and the effects and everything. And watching this, it felt like a TV movie version of that. Like you can tell where the green screen is. You can see them walking around and it's like they didn't get the shadows right. And then all the camera shit, it's just like, okay, you're going to do the bullet time slow motion thing like from the jump. Come on. Like, don't let us wait for that. Give us that. Like, give us some kind of a better payoff than that.
Right. I like that you're like assessing this so technically. I'm just like nodding along, being like, yeah, dude, totally saw that.
Well, what
totally
did you,
noticed that.
Oh, I mean, what did you think about this movie the first time you watched it?
I think the first time I watched it, so it came out 2003, and I would have watched it in the cinema like near the debut, I reckon.
Okay.
And so what I would have been. 13.
Okay.
I think. So.
Is the, and you're, this is in Australia, I assume.
Yeah.
This is before you're in London.
We have cinemas there, yeah.
Right, yes. But you guys, what was it rated in Australia? Was it rated whatever the equivalent of R is, the 18?
I think we have M. What's, okay. What, is R 18 plus?
R is 17 plus. Except okay. In Tennessee, where you have to be 18. Because Tennessee's a fucking weird state.
I love that you guys have all those idiosyncrasies. No, it's really funny. It's just like, yeah, but except in Tennessee right. You're going to be 18 to watch the movie. You're like, what?
I mean, it's all sorts of weird stuff. Like Louisiana was the last state to pass laws where you can't drink in a car. You can't have open container in a car. And the only reason they passed it, like they didn't raise the drinking age. They raised the, because the drinking age across the U.S. used to be 18.
Yeah.
And they raised it to 21. And then open container was same sort of deal. Like open container was made illegal while you were driving. In certain states, but not in other states. And the drinking age is made higher in other states. Louisiana is the last holdout. The only reason they held out is because they stopped receiving federal highway funding. So
right.
All the roads are just going to shit. And then they're like, man, okay, well, this is going to contribute to a lot more drunk driving. So at least we'll just raise the drinking age.
Yeah.
So people
yeah.
aren't like flying off in potholes and then popping off into some sort of a lake.
But ideologically, they're still very okay with open containers in the car.
I mean, you got drive-through daiquiri stops. You can go. You can pick up a. You can pick up an Everclear daiquiri whenever you want.
Oh my god,
it's pretty wild.
It's just like driving so boring.
Let's
guys,
jazz it up a little bit.
Let's get drunk. That's hilarious. That's so weird.
So you see it in cinemas. Yeah, you see it in theaters.
13. Yeah, I just. I'm trying to like remember. I just remember being like so disappointed. Because, like, the first Matrix was, like, really, like, kind of mind-opening, I think.
Yeah.
Like, cause when you're a kid, like, when you're, like...
especially.
I saw The Matrix in the cinema. I must have been, the same, because I think I'm the same age as you.
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm 30 now.
Okay,
so
cool.
I must have been,
turning,
like...
turning 29 tomorrow.
Right. Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Hey.
Beautiful gift. The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Ugh, what a way to open my mind.
No, I think so it must have been like 9 or 10. I think I saw it like with my dad. So I think that's the thing in Australia, if your parents bring you Yeah. You can go.
You can do the U.S. same deal, but my parents were not going to bring me. Sure. Yeah.
no, not
absolutely
so much.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No, my dad was like, yeah, man, let's watch some people get shot.
It sounds like, see, if I want to watch people get shot, I'll just go to a fucking Walmart and hang out. It's Texas for you. Hi-yo.
Yeah. Woo. American shooting joke.
Topical. Ah,
is it a joke? It's always topical.
Shout out to Amnesty International.
Oh, man. It's so dark. I love it. Like, that's insane as a country. It's just like, hey, you know how people just get shot all the time?
Right.
Hack.
That's right.
It's a hack joke.
It's very strange. I remember I did, because I have a joke in my act about guns and gun control, and I was doing it, and then I got off stage on whatever it was, Saturday night here, and the El Paso shooting had just happened.
Oof.
And then I was like, oh no. And then I went to bed, and then I woke up, and then that Ohio shooting happened. And I was like, this is crazy.
Oh my God.
What am I missing over in the States?
Yeah, now that you're gone, now the sheriff's out of town.
I know. Two shootings, Epstein got murked in prison, all sorts of shit's going down.
That Epstein shit. Oh my God. I would love to talk to the Wachowskis about the Epstein suicide.
Oh my God. They got to have some opinions about that.
Dude, they're so interesting as people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they used to be the Wachowski brothers. Now they're the Wachowskis.
Right.
Both having, because it was initially the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first, like, I don't know. I think it's Lana.
I'm gonna fact
before I get in trouble, right?
Yes.
No, I'm 90% sure it's Lana because I watched her give a speech.
Lana was Larry originally, and then she became Lana.
Yes, and I watched her give a speech to the, I think it was like to the UN or something, about like that, and it was like really interesting because like one of the things actually in the original Matrix, if you know the character Switch.
Okay, I don't remember this.
She was kind of like the like probably like the most cyberpunk of all of them, which is a difficult fit. But like
that's hard to do.
The idea with her character was that she was supposed to be transgender within the Matrix.
Okay, because
the Matrix is like the manifestation of how you see yourself,
right,
in the actual world. So she was going to be like a woman in the real world and a man in the Matrix.
Okay,
and they cut that out because it was 1999.
Yeah,
I guess. Everyone's kind of like, come on, guys. Like, what, this is, listen, I know this is sci-fi, but come on.
We got to have something believable in here, guys. Wachowski brothers, come on.
But yeah, no, she gives this really interesting speech. But like, yeah, they've like both transitioned and they're both like very kind of like, just like, you know, those people that seem like obnoxiously educated, you know, like just like so educated and like from like a young age. And like, that's why with the Matrix, it's like this interesting, mind expanding, like just doing heaps of philosophy,
right,
really. Because like I studied philosophy for some reason. So
because you're a white guy, you can get away with studying philosophy.
Thank you for noticing. Yes. Please don't shoot me, the police. All right. So
we're out here in the UK, they don't have guns.
They don't have guns. They just yell at you.
Yeah, what are they supposed to oppress you with? Come on, guys.
What are they supposed to oppress you with? Passive aggression. that's their main work over here. thank you. So the first one was really like that, whereas the second one was just like, it really reminded me, like, these three movies, like 3 years at university. Like, the first one, like, you're learning stuff, you're expanding your mind, like, it's kind of useful and applicable. The second one is like, oh, I'm just so deep in this shit. Oh my God, I'm so deep in the ideas. Isn't this crazy? And then the third one's just kind of like, oh, my mind exploded. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Oh my God.
Because the third one, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
It's basically, did you watch Dragon Ball Z growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically that.
Okay.
It's just like an episode of Dragon Ball Z. They're just like flying through the air. They're like hitting each other in these big explosions and like...
I mean, there's a fair amount of that happening in this one already too. There's so many, like there's big explosions right out of the gate.
Yeah. Oh, but actually, God, there are some really good scenes in this movie. I know I'm supposed to be hating on it. And like, I do. Like, I hate the whole thing.
I mean, there's a lot to hate about it.
There's a lot to hate about it. But that scene on the freeway...
The freeway's cool.
Great scene. And the twins, that's fun.
Like, twins are weird.
Yeah. And like that scene, oh, that's such an awful scene. Where before that, it's like the Merovingian and his wife, and like they got like, she wasn't kissing your face, my love.
Right.
Like,
just,
he makes a cake. He codes a cake that can give a woman like an orgasm, and then he like follows her to the bathroom.
There's so much weirdo shit going on in this movie.
What an insane scene.
Well, it's so, the thing that really stood out to me about this movie in like a way that made me just put off by it was how tonally all over the place it was.
Sure.
There's so much going on where it goes from being like super high action, like, oh man, we're going to beat up 100 different Agent Smiths and we're going to have this crazy fight on a freeway.
Yeah.
But then there's like a weird rave in a cave where Keanu, where Neo and Trinity are also like, it cuts away between them fucking and then just like people fucking partying and Morpheus in like a leather vest. And then there's like, there's all this stuff that there's like all this expository dialogue where they're just, you remember, you saw Inception, I assume. So I remember people knocked Inception for having a lot of explanatory dialogue. And I think Inception kind of got away with it because you needed to sort of at least explain the world just enough so that way you can watch all the shit and be like, oh, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Matrix Reloaded goes too far in that direction.
Oh, so far.
It's uncomfortable. It's just like, I was bored.
They're explaining thoughts to you that you wouldn't possibly have.
Right.
Like the scene with the architect, like that is, I think, arguably the worst scene in any, like, in any good film franchise, like in any like film franchise that was like coveted that people saw. Mm-hmm. Like that is just awful.
It's
like it's the KFC Colonel, like explaining things to you that you didn't want to know. You're just like, bro, I was fine.
I don't care about any of this stuff.
Yeah, just like you're the remainder of an equation. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Right. There were five that came before you.
Yeah.
We're going to show you all the alternate versions of what could have happened. How about an alternate version where that scene doesn't exist?
Yeah, it's come just on, like the 1,000 TVs behind Neo doing like all the reactions. Like one of them's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And you're like, this isn't edgy. Like, I know that you've read, like, Possible Worlds Theory, but this is boring, dude.
It's so
like,
boring.
You know how university's boring? You know how you guys went to university, then became film producers and directors and writers?
It just like, brought us back to that.
Yeah, this is boring now. This is lame.
There's a lot of really lame shit in this movie. There's a lot of stuff that tries to seem cool, and it just isn't.
What about the scene where the key maker finishes the key, and then they have a little thing of him blowing it, like...
I was like, what is it? What is going on?
Oh man. And like the recurring dream sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then like just, and also, all right. Is this thing usually chronological? Am I ruining like the logic of it?
Good. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I think the biggest mistake, making Neo be able to fly.
Yeah.
That was lame.
We don't need Neo to be able to fly.
No one needs to be able to fly. Really? That's the problem with Superman.
That's literally what they say. He's always doing his Superman shit again.
Yeah,
and then
it's just
a shot. It could have been a shot of Superman that just got color corrected, for all I know.
Exactly. Like if Superman embraced the rave scene.
Right.
Hey, wait, is there any kryptonite in this ecstasy? No? Good.
Perfect. Oh, thank God.
Straight in. I just want to relax.
I just came here to party, man. Can you call me Cal? Call me Cal-El. I'm not a Superman here.
He's got sunglasses, honestly. She's loving it. So that was a horrible mistake. I mean, it allowed the freeway scene to happen, but that is, like, the only redeeming thing. But then, like, just the... Like him pulling them off the truck when it's all crashing and the slow-mo, but then like the guy's celebrating the booth like, yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
It's weird. Like,
why?
And the same deal when he goes and rescues Trinity.
Yeah.
He does that because he can fly.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, he caught her. What? And I'm just like, what kind of like shitty YouTube reaction video is this that we're going through right now?
Yeah. It's like, dude, he caught people like... 10 minutes ago, like he caught people before. Like, this ain't the first catch, and she's his favorite ball. Of course, he's gonna catch it,
of course.
Come on,
how can you let that go into your neighbor's yard? You're not going to, you're gonna make the effort.
And then he brings her back to life. So, this is the thing, the whole issue with this movie is that there's no stakes.
Yeah,
like at any point, you're like, oh no, the worst possible thing. Oh, wait, Neo fixed it.
Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of the movie, this is reading some of the people's reviews and reactions to this movie, it blew my mind reading about it.
What have you got? Lay it on me.
So, okay. Some of the people that didn't like, some critics thought the number of scenes with expository dialogue worked against the film, accurate, and the many unresolved subplots, as well as the cliffhanger ending, were also criticized. Okay. This is barely a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
This is a cliffhanger, and if you're a fucking idiot. Like, if you watch this movie and you think, uh-oh, Neo's gone, he's dead. Oh no, what's going to happen in the next movie that's coming out a year from now? How are they going to get out of this one?
Yeah, no, it's insane.
And
I can't think that's called a cliffhanger.
It's
like, is Neo gonna be okay? Oh my god, no.
Oh no. Okay, positive commendations. This is the craziest part to me. The good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Toscano of Talking Pictures, a man who I've never heard of from a website I've never heard of.
Sure.
Had high praise for the film, saying that its character development and writing is so crisp, it crackles on the screen.
What?
Like Pop Rocks. Just crackling. Just percolating.
Who's watching The Matrix for character development? Like, what?
Tony Toscano. He's
Tony Toscano, dude.
Tony Toscano sounds like a character that somebody would be doing a show based around on the Edinburgh Fringe.
Just a fake Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Toscano. You know Tony Toscano?
Tony Toscano. Oh, 5 stars. Brilliant.
T, reload it. Yeah. That's the vibe.
I can't imagine watching somebody who enjoyed the movie as much as Tony Toscano clearly did. If he's saying the writing is crackling on the screen, this is not the reaction that I experienced. Did you feel like the writing was like, oh man, they're really getting it? They understand how to make an entertaining dialogue sequence.
Those are not the words that I would use, no. Because like this, like in the first one, I actually thought, you know, in fairness, it was a fair bit of character development. There was some like really, like just kind of nice scenes, like you know, just with the guy who's like, I don't want to live in the real world anymore. This sucks. Like, I don't care if it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that kind of shit. Like the thing about, you know, it's about Neo like trying to, like, you know, you need what wanted to hear. It's a bit cheesy,
right?
But it's still fun.
Yeah,
it's a movie. Whereas like this one is just like, you know, like, oh, just. It was so like, this is exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single scene is like, I don't know if you guys are clear, but this is the intention of this scene.
Right. Exactly.
We made a random Asian to explain it. Like, it's like, what? Just do Inception. Use Joseph Gordon-Levitt like an adult.
Yes. You know? Come on, guys. Sorry, girls. Sorry.
Everybody.
Them, everybody involved.
Team. I like to go with team.
All right, team.
Come on, team.
So here's – I mean, The Matrix felt fun because it's doing the whole like pop philosophy thing, right?
Yeah.
And –
but doing it well.
Right, exactly. Because it's entertaining and it's like, it's got a bunch, it's a real hodgepodge of ideas and it doesn't really zero in too deep on any of them, which is what makes that movie entertaining because it's like, all right, we're going to get just enough under the surface of a few different things. We'll throw in some religious allegory type of shit. We'll throw in some stuff about the burgeoning technological society that we're all living in and about, you know, reality not existing.
Yeah.
And okay, cool. This is interesting. Throw in some fight sequences, fun times. Great, fantastic. Mm-hmm. A little goth action, little like, you know, wearing a lot of leather.
Yeah.
I'm on board. This is just like, hey, remember all the things that we think you liked about the first movie? Let's get rid of all of almost entirely that and let's throw in just explaining things and stuff about like body snatching and people going on rescue missions. I don't give a shit about any of that.
Yeah. No, definitely. And just like all these like older figures from The Matrix.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, hey, do you want to know the history of The Matrix? No, we want to know the future of The Matrix. What? What the? It's a fake world. Why do I care about the fake historical figures? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't need to know about the program, how it's like done 6 times.
Yeah.
And different evolutions of things. And I'm a, this guy's a rogue program. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Well, let me explain to you exactly what it means.
It's very like, that I think is like the thing that really dates it. Like the fact that, yeah, Agent Smith, he's a virus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
no.
Back in the days of like McAfee and like, you know, like,
oh, my computer got a virus from this chain email.
It's like, no one uses viruses anymore. They just use malware.
Yeah.
So they can know what you like and then control you forever.
Right. Just listen. You know what we really need is we needed The Matrix to exist at the time that it was, and then they needed to not make The Matrix sequels and then bring them back now.
Oh, it would have been amazing. Like Agent Smith, instead of like being a virus that tries to destroy everything.
He's an influencer that tries to destroy everything.
No, it's just there with Neo being like, so Neo, I hear you like leather. I actually know a guy who does 30% off leather with this code.
Mm-hmm. If you sign up, you can get a couple day free shipping. All the trench coats you could ever want sent right to your house.
Hey, Morpheus, I notice your glasses don't have arms on them. Would you perhaps like a chain? That would be way better, way more relevant.
I would love to see the modern, like, But the Wachowskis instead are just making stuff like Jupiter Ascending and other garbage movies like that.
Well, they made V for Vendetta, which I really liked. I don't know how you felt about V for Vendetta.
Never saw V for Vendetta.
It's definitely worth a looking because that was kind of like ideas have value and they kept it simple.
Okay.
You know, whereas like, yeah, just with Matrix Reloaded, it was just like so... They just try to cram so much in. They're just like, do you want to know about all the books I've read? It's right. Like, no. No, I don't. Your bookshelf does. I don't give a fuck.
You know what they should have called this movie? The Matrix Overloaded. Oh, am I right? Hey. Am I right?
God. Someone have an air horn?
Oh, anyone? I think so. Okay, we figured it out. We got one in there.
Yeah. No, definitely. But like... It's just also just really lame bits that they try and make seem inspiring.
Right.
Like, I think in my head, the lamest thing in the whole movie is where Morpheus addresses Zion.
Uh-huh.
Like, to kind of, like, get everybody pumped for the fight. With right. The classic pre-war rave.
Of course, that's that everybody that's how we always do them.
That's why the Germans lost World War II. They were coming down.
Yeah. So listen, you can't fight. You got to make sure you're peaking right when you're also trying to enact... A two-front war.
Yeah.
Don't get involved in a two-front war if you don't have enough Molly to last you through the night.
I love that Hitler was on coke, though, because it like explains everything about that. Like, just genuinely, like, everything about that dude. Just like, oh, you know that he was prescribed cocaine and he kept taking more and more, and you're like, I've met that guy.
Yeah.
Just takes an idea too far on a big bender.
Now we got Adderall, so everybody's just doing that instead.
That's you guys, man. That's not everyone. That's just you.
That like, could be. I mean, that Americans do love their pills. If there's anything that we've learned over the past like 5 years.
Yeah. Well, no, because when I was there, this lady was explaining to me that like the kids of the people she works with, they're on uppers and downers. Like every day.
Sounds about right.
Just like these people are like 11. Like you don't need uppers and downers at 11. Like you're already a fucking yo-yo.
Right. Know? Well, the thing is it's so easy to prescribe all of that because.
And don't the doctors make bank off it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctors make money off of it. And there's such incentive now to be like, all right, you have some sort of a focus problem and you're 8 years old. All right, we're going to give you this drug that will make you focus. But it doesn't really. And it just keeps you, and it just makes you more hyper in some cases. And so, like, all right, well, we got to even this out. Let's get another pill in there.
Yeah.
Let's try this one out.
It's never stopped the prescription. It's always just add more pills.
Right.
Which is, you know, essentially what has happened with the Matrix movies. And they're like, hey, we should lose some characters. They're like, no, we're just going to fucking add them. We're
going to get so many more people wearing leather. Oh my God.
You guys are going to love it. There's a whole room of all the different ships and they all like the same music apparently.
We're going
to... Huge Rammstein fans, everybody here.
All the budget we had to have somebody edit our script down and make it make sense and be fun. Nah, let's get bigger green screens. Let's get more smoke. This is just... It was a real weird way to start my morning.
Yeah.
Watching this movie.
Yeah, it'll fuck your day up, I tell you.
Yeah.
But no, definitely like just the way that like, and then at like the end, like he just kind of realizes that the real world is actually the Matrix 2. And you just kind of like, come on, man. We had like a fun concept to explore and you've expanded it. You didn't have to do that.
No, just let us stay in the thing. Just stay in the lane.
Stay in your lane.
There's a fun, that's a fun drive, the Matrix. If you stay in the lane and see where that goes.
Yeah.
But you don't have to overblow it.
I really didn't think there was going to be three. I remember when I watched the first one. I mean, I was a child. I didn't realize that anything had sequels. Apart from Star Wars. Get that in early. You know?
The Toy Story also, don't forget.
No, but Toy Story 2, that would have...
That was 99.
Really?
Yeah.
No, wait,
2000. It was shortly after.
Shortly after, there you go. But no, just like, I never in my head was like this, like the Matrix. Oh, this needs more. Like, you know what? I need more of this guy.
Absolutely.
You know how they made this like perfect? Like, I think it's like genuinely just a perfect hero's journey movie.
Yeah,
like, perfect. And like, then they're just like, you know, But what happens to the hero after is done.
I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
And I can't believe you made me watch this movie. I mean, you didn't, but I felt like I needed to in order to accurately talk about it with you. And yeah. At the end of the day, I'm glad I did.
Well, I mean, yeah, because now you definitely don't have to watch Revolutions.
No, thank God. What happens in Revolutions?
Like
more dumb bullshit like this?
Yeah, it's just like, I think like basically it's like Smith just becomes everybody. Like the whole world is just Smith and he's like the virus and then it's like Neo fighting the virus and then he eventually like beats Smith and like the Matrix kind of collapses or something.
Okay.
I don't actually remember.
See,
this I just remember the fight scenes were so shit. Like, because like in this one, I think the fight scenes are quite poor as well.
Right.
Because they do that thing, that, like Star Wars did it with the prequels, like 1 through 3,
mm-hmm.
where they just over choreograph. You know what I
right.
mean? So like, it's just too perfect looking.
Right. And it's not choreographed in a fun way either.
No, it's like technical.
Yeah. Like John Wick movies are fun to watch because it's like watching a dance.
Yeah.
And there's just bullets that are flying over the course of this dance. And sometimes people are going to get slashed by a knife and all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
This movie, it's just like, it's too robotic.
Did you know that John Wick, the director,
mm-hmm.
is Keanu Reeves' stuntman from The Matrix?
Yeah. Keanu Reeves' stuntman, what's the guy? Chad Stahelski.
I did not know his name.
And David Leitch. Yeah, they're both the guys.
Okay.
Chad Stahelski, also the guy who finished out the scenes for Brandon Lee in The Crow after Brandon Lee died on set.
Wow.
Yeah.
That guy's had a career.
Yes, he has.
God damn.
And that's why he knows how to make a good stuntman. That's why he knows how to make a good action movie. That's why John Wick is fantastic.
Yeah. John Wick's so good. I could easily talk about how much I love John Wick. But the one thing also in John Wick, it never loses its sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Because not to ruin like the last one or whatever, but like, yeah, he kills a guy with a gun heaps and he kills a guy with like a knife and stuff. But he also kills a guy with a book, with a horse.
Right.
With like all this fun stuff, with
it's
an axe.
Fun.
Yeah. Whereas like with Neo, it's just like how many like weird hand shape kung fu things can I do?
Yeah.
You know?
If anything, I think that this movie trying to be as funny as it is with this weird crackly writing just only amplifies how bad the rest of the movie is.
Yeah.
On top of it.
It's true.
Because the jokes fall flat and then you're like, oh, well, the rest of this stuff isn't hitting hard either.
Yeah. No, the jokes. Yeah. Why would you? There was no jokes in the first one.
No.
There weren't jokes.
There were no jokes.
And that was great. I'm not looking for a joke.
I don't need a joke in this movie.
Yeah.
Just give me, just mainline me with some cool fight sequences and some robots or something.
Dude, I just remembered a scene that's like definitely shit, but I kind of love it. Scene where Morpheus gets the samurai sword on the car. Remember that?
I was nodding off a little bit during this movie. I might have missed this part.
Basically, it's like they're like driving at Morpheus and he's like standing in front of a car with like a samurai sword. They're just twirling, obviously, because everything in the Matrix gets twirled 1,000 times.
Of course.
And then it drives to like kill him like with the car and then he like rolls out of the way and slashes it on the side with a samurai sword, just kind of like holding it to the side.
Oh, no, I do remember this. Yeah. Yes.
And then the car goes up on its side and then he shoots the underneath with an Uzi and then it explodes.
I mean, that stuff's pretty great.
Yeah.
But I want more of that.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
There's no fun in this movie.
No, there's like, you really got to search for it. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's fun. And then, like, I think, like, I like the high, like, basically the highway scene. Like, I assume they spent all of their budget on that.
Probably.
Just like everything was that one scene, and then they just kind of had to fill.
Yeah. I mean, they constructed a highway for that scene.
No.
Yeah. They went to, I was reading about this. They went to a naval base.
The first Matrix obviously was better because it was filmed in Sydney, Australia, where this guy's from. So, hey, you know, that's how you know.
Of course,
you
got your hearts in there. Yeah. They created at the Naval Air Station Alameda in Alameda, California. They constructed a 1.5-mile freeway on the old runways. What they could have done, they could have gone to Ohio, where the city of Akron was willing to give them full access to a stretch of highway. Imagine if they'd just done that instead of spending all this time building a highway.
Yeah, it would have been so much easier. God. They had to go to Ohio. Is that where LeBron James is from, Akron, Ohio?
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine?
I know. Imagine if The Matrix Reloaded and LeBron James came out of Akron, Ohio.
Yeah, and like would have been like roughly, you know, the same time period, you know? He would have been like a little teenager.
Yeah.
Being like, oh my God.
Could have been on set watching.
Yeah, he just could have been the boy with the spoon.
Man, everything could have changed. Well, thanks for coming on and talking about The Matrix Reloaded with me.
Pleasure.
Where can the listeners find you on the internet, out and about?
Out and about? Well, I've got... I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Dan Muggleton. Mm. Dan, short for Daniel. Muggle, like Harry Potter, and T-O-N, like the end of every white person's name. There you go. Easy. And I've got a special on Amazon Prime that you can stream for free called Daniel Muggleton, Let's Never Hang Out. And it's also available on Spotify, as well as another album called Daniel Muggleton, Let Me Finish.
Wonderful.
Not all my comedy shows will start with the word let, I promise.
Yeah, the one you're doing here, if you're still here at Fringe, check out Pimpin' Ain't Easy, But I Reckon It's Easier for Straight White Men.
Yep, bang. Yeah. And you trailed up as well. Hey. You got the question mark.
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah, you nailed it.
You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates. If you're in LA, I will be recording my album on August 31st at 7:30.
Hey,
as
album.
Soon as I get back.
That's exciting.
Come on out, guys.
Reserve. An album recording's the best shit to see. You should go see it.
Yeah. The ticket link, if you want to reserve, is going to be at the top of the show notes. So click that link. I don't remember it off the top of my head. I have not slept. It's my memory is like completely shot as a result of the lack of sleep I've gotten at this festival.
That's what it's for.
That's what I'm here for, baby.
Yeah.
This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.